Millions of people today have no dental insurance. If you're without insurance, do you have a plan to care for your teeth without spending a fortune? Introducing Dental Plans. How would you like to save 10 to 60% off your next dental visit for as little as $7 a month? We offer trusted dental savings plans from companies like Cigna and Aetna with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Be a part of the 1 million plus happy smiles served since 1999 that save money when they visit the dentist. You can save on cleanings, dentures, braces, x-rays, fillings, crowns, root canals, and even teeth whitening. Call 800-634-0482 now to start saving immediately. Mention promo code radio to receive 15% off any plan and for a limited time, 1 month free. 800-634-0482. That's 800-634-0482. Fees billed annually plus a $20 processing fee. Savings plans are not insurance. Savings will vary by provider, plan, and zip code. Consult with plan detail page for additional plan terms. Not all plans and offers available in all markets.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
From the Dexcom G6 studios, always know where your glucose is headed and how fast. Be sure to visit Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com. Like the announcer dude said, I am Dave Graveline. He in the studio here in Miami with me.
Chris Graveline.
In the control room, Erasmo and Julio. Working with the show out of New York City is Horatio.
They're not Graveline.
We got all the O's there. You notice?
We do.
The Erasmo, Julio, Horatio.
That's always been a requirement to be in the control room or offsite.
You have to end in an O.
Right.
Yeah. And those who didn't, we made them anyway that do that over the years.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, how about that? This is the broadcast, by the way, for the weekend of May 3rd, 2019. Not yet Mother's Day. That's next weekend, right?
Yes.
So for those of you who have mothers, don't forget Mom. Next weekend.
And moms love tech gifts.
They do. That's true. It's amazing because you would think, oh, I got to get her flowers and a nice cart. No. Get her something tech because tech lives matter.
That's right.
And she will appreciate something tech. So I just got back in from Andalusia, Spain.
And let me guess, are your arms tired?
Yeah, see, I intentionally didn't say I just flew in and boy are my arms tired because I knew you were going to go there. But I just got back from, so no, why would my arms be tired? From stretching out in business class. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
But a lot of highlights today that I'm going to share with you throughout the show from our IFA Global Press Conference. Always this time of year. They have a press conference for the past 13 years, somewhere around the world, usually around the Mediterranean. Interestingly enough, one time it was not around the Mediterranean. It was in Hong Kong. It's a little ways from the Mediterranean.
Just a little bit.
This time it could be argued that it also wasn't on the Mediterranean because we were Andalusia, Spain, more specifically Punta Umbria, at the very south of Spain, beautiful area. On the Atlantic Ocean, which I recognized, are you ready for this, was the same Atlantic Ocean as the one we have here in Miami.
Ooh.
Yeah. Pretty cool. However, we were just west of where the Atlantic meets the Mediterranean. So close enough, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Only country where we have done the global press conference more than twice was Spain, or is Spain, what have you. Because the first one was in Athens, Greece, and then we're in Monte Carlo, Monaco, and last year was Rome. I mean, they've always been very cool cities. Dubrovnik, Croatia, one year. Malta, a couple of times. I mean, very cool stuff. But the opening keynote at IFA, this is some of the big news that came out of the global press conferences. So we talk about our 17th year, right? You confirm the math?
Yes.
Yes. That we'll be broadcasting from IFA in September in Berlin. And Erasmo's coming, right? He just said yes. He just shook his head yes. We have him on video on security camera. So make sure we get that. We save that. And Julio's coming. First time ever in Europe, let alone Berlin, let alone IFA.
Yes, but what Erasmo isn't telling you is he's just going to throw a picture of himself in the equipment cases as we're packing. And that's how he's going to go.
So when you and Julio open the gear in Berlin, look, Erasmo's here. Yeah, great. Anyway, so some of the big news, get this. Have you heard who the keynote opening speaker will be at IFA in Berlin in September?
I have, because you told me before the show.
Oh, that doesn't count. I'm supposed to have surprised you. Richard Yu.
Me?
Yeah. Richard Yu. Why Yu? He's the CEO of Huawei. Oh, yeah. The company we talk a lot about, where the U.S. government and U.K. and several others are saying, uh-oh, spy stuff built in. So we'll see what happens. Going to try to get him on the show. I wonder if after all that discussion, though, they're going to say, ah, you don't want to do that, sir.
Well, we'll have to send a redacted version of the show to stations.
A redacted version. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Another special keynote will be delivered by the president of Qualcomm. So that means something will certainly dominate the show at IFA this year, since the two companies are front runners in the technology of 5G. So we'll talk a lot about that coming up. Philips wants to use small vibrations to give you better sleep. Yes, okay. I did say that on the radio. The snoring relief belt is a very good description, because that's exactly what it is. Helps adjust and improve your sleeping position with subtle vibrations. So if you or your significant other is snoring a lot, you'll want to get one of these Philips belts, snoring relief belts. They announced that it'll be introduced at IFA, so we'll tell you more about it there. But it's actually a little belt you wear around your chest. And if it discovers that you're on your back, alleged subtle vibrations occur, which prompt you in your sleep to simply turn on one side or the other to stop those vibrations.
You know, if your partner's snoring, a stun gun works just as well.
A stun gun, a fist to the face. Any number of those things have been used, but this is subtle. Less harsh, for that matter. They also talked about a new air fryer they'll be introducing at IFA, and a cloud-based product focus on dental health. This is just all from the Philips discussion. I'm introducing all these people because I was the moderator for this event. And then I go sit back down in my seat and turn the mic off and put it on the seat next to me with all of my notes. And then I start taking notes about the stuff they're saying. So that's why I've got a bunch of stuff to share with you today. The cloud-based dental health and new smart shaving devices. You figure, how does your shaver have to be smart? Well, Philips has come up with a way to do that.
You just sit back and tell Alexa to shave me?
No, that would be a little risky, I think. Dangerous at best. Because if you've upset Alexa in the days prior, she's probably going to cut your face.
Yeah. Well, you know, it worked for the Jetsons. Didn't he just walk into the bathroom and sort of stood there in front of the mirror and the little arms, robotic arms,
that's
came down,
true,
and shaved him and did his
and
hair?
Aren't we pretty much doing everything that we saw on the Jetsons,
yeah,
these days? Except for the flying cars part, everything else seems to be happening. We got the robot vacuum and so forth. So a lot of other stuff that we'll share with you throughout the show today, all 3 hours. Don't want to miss some goodies we have. Oh, by the way, one of the interesting things was the Edelman Trust Barometer, the big public relations firm that has come out with a trust barometer for the last few years. Wait till you hear some of that came out. What we as consumers trust, don't trust. Many journalists were calling it more like a fear barometer. And I'll share that with you, too. Meantime, some tech news and commentary.
Well, of course, Facebook had their big annual F8 developer conference this week. And we've got a few highlights of that.
Why do they call it F8?
I don't know. It's an interesting thing, because in our editing software, as we're recording the show, you hit the F8 button and it puts a mark.
Yeah.
We do that when we make a mistake, so there's something to edit. So
we don't make mistakes. Come on. Anybody who hears the show knows that Erasmo works very hard doing F8ing so that we don't make mistakes.
We have to make mistakes on purpose sometimes, because otherwise Erasmo doesn't really have anything to do.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
he does get bored.
You know, three quarters of the things we do is just, you know, giving them work.
Ah.
So it's appropriate that they call it the F8, since that's what we use for mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But Mark Zuckerberg was very upfront about their struggles. He was quoted as saying, "We don't exactly have the strongest reputation on privacy right now."
We don't exactly have. Now, that's an understatement.
And Carolyn Everson, Facebook VP of its global business group, was speaking to reporters at an F8 viewing party at the company's New York office, and I think had the best quote. She said, "It has not been an easy 18 to 24 months at Facebook. I'm not going to sugarcoat it."
Okay.
So at least they know that they've had some issues.
Yeah. Julio, your mission is to ascertain why is it called F8, the Facebook conference. All right. Okay. I'm sure people listening know what it is, and they're screaming at their radios, you dummies, you're the tech guys, and you don't even know. I didn't say we didn't know. I just said that Julio's going to give us the exact definition.
Right. Now, some of the announcements that came out of the conference. Instagram wants to lead the fight against online bullying. Now, part of that effort includes a potential away mode feature, which would be a way to opt out of Instagram during a sensitive time in your life, such as switching schools or going through a breakup.
How about just turn it off?
Yeah.
Be done with it.
I have.
I've been
away mode from Instagram since like October or something.
Really?
I still have it. I just haven't launched it or loaded it.
That's interesting. But they're going to call it an away mode.
Yeah.
And see what happens there. No, go ahead and sit at the mic and tell us in a second. He already found out why they call it F8. But in the meantime, what else came of it?
Facebook will launch a dating service in the U.S. this year.
Facebook is going to do that now.
Yeah.
As if there's not enough Facebooking stuff going on already that they're going to launch a dating service.
Yeah. So and it'll have a feature called Secret Crush, which they announced at this conference.
Oh, how cute!
It will allow you to create a private list of your Facebook friends that you're interested in. And then if your friends that you have a secret crush on also listed you as a secret crush, then they will out you as a crushed couple.
They will out you? That's
so
weird term to use.
So you have a mutual crush, and then I guess it'll, you know.
But that's kind of interesting. There's also a new gamer dating system that has come out or is coming out. We're looking to get their founder on the show at some point because I'm thinking, wait a minute. They're talking about helping the love life for gamers. And I'm thinking, well, the first thing that would help would be unplug the game. Get out of the world and do something. But did they announce when they're going to have the Facebook dating app?
They did not. I mean, it's been available in other parts of the world already, I guess, as a test. But they say that they'll launch it in the U.S. later this year. So they didn't have an exact date. But we'll be looking for that to come probably at some point in the next few months.
Very interesting. So a lot of stuff came out of the F8. And what does that mean, Julio?
So, Dave, the F8 name comes from Facebook's tradition of the 8-hour hackathons.
The 8-hour hackathons. So that was like their initial stuff, and then now it's their conference is simply called F8.
Apparently, it's called F8.
I'm guessing the F is for Facebook, and the 8 is now for their 8-hour hackathons. Interesting. Any other info about that?
So apparently no conferences were held for 2009, 2012, or 2013.
Oh.
So it's weird that it would be called F8.
Yeah, because they missed several as well. Well, that's interesting. Well, thank you for doing that research. Spur of the moment. You just got it right there for us. And now we know what F8 is all about. Lots more news to come in terms of technology news and other goodies, highlights from the Global Press Conference. From IFA last week in Spain, we got a lot to share with you. But first, Terry in Carthage, Missouri, listens to the free Into Tomorrow podcast that I hope all of you listening will sign up for, especially if your local affiliate isn't able to carry all 3 hours every week. We understand programming issues and whatnot, but you don't have to miss a minute of the show. So subscribe to the free podcast at intotomorrow.com, just like Terry did. Hey there.
Got a little problem. I've got a Samsung Tab S2 that I have forgotten the password on it. And I'm just wondering if you can help me some way that I can possibly get into that thing and reset the password or such, because I can't use it all the way it is. So if you could help me, I would appreciate it.
Well, Terry, we'll do our best. The good news, though, is that you can regain access to your Samsung S2. The bad news is that you may not like how. Things have changed over the generations, but around the time of the S2, the way to get access to a device that you don't have a password for was to wipe it and start fresh. So to set your S2 to factory settings, you need to hold down volume up, home, and power until the Samsung logo appears, then release them. And get ready to just select that you want to restore it to factory settings from the reset menu that will show up then on screen.
Yeah, and once that process is done, you'll be able to set it up again with a new password. But it will basically be a brand new tablet, so you'll start fresh from scratch and have to set it back to however you had it in the first place. Just make sure that when you get it set back up, you set a password that you'll remember for sure this time.
Yeah, good luck with that, because I get it. And Terry, we're hoping that there's not a lot of stuff on there that you need to access that there's no other place, you know, pictures or videos or things that were precious moments and memories. Because if that's the case and you've tried every password you can think of that it could have been, then it doesn't work. You're going to have to just reset it. And at least in this case, that'll work. Doesn't work for new devices these days, newer kinds of tablets and phones and so forth. You can't just say, ah, the heck with it, I'll just factory reset and get in. No, because items have been stolen and otherwise obtained. And if it was that easy, everybody would be doing it. But there's been a whole lot less theft of phones and tablets, still happening, unfortunately, but a lot less because it's become so difficult to just get into it. So basically, you've got a paperweight, and most people are saying, forget it. Pawn shops are not wanting any of that.
That's a good reminder of the importance of apps like the password apps, yeah. Password management apps. So you can get, you know, an app that's set by with one master password, and then you can, in the app, store all the passwords for all your other devices and
sure.
accounts. And
just don't forget your master password,
right.
Because then you're really in trouble. But one of the suggestions that I make periodically that I have found helps me a lot, especially in my elder years, is that I use, for example, a password for any website or banking or whatever, I use embedded in the password so that they're somewhat consistent, except some of these morons are making me change my password so frequently, I'm screwing that up. But I embed like an initial or two from whatever it might be. You know, so maybe if like I'm going to the Visa site for my card or something, I'm going to have V or VI in the password and a number and a word, short words, but be consistent about it. So do the same thing. And if it involves money, maybe I'll use a dollar sign because a lot of these companies want you to use a character as well as alphanumeric. So then fine, if it's banking or credit cards or something, I'm going to use the dollar sign perhaps. If not, I'll use a different character. You can choose exclamation point or a bracket or any number of things that it will accept, but be consistent about it. So the idea with passwords, of course, make them difficult for somebody else to crack, but for you to remember.
And don't use...
Go ahead. You were going to say the same thing.
Don't use your child's name. Don't use your pet's name.
Yeah. And don't use password 123 or anything like that. Because Julio's going, what? Great. Well, we know how easy it is to get into his devices now. But a lot of people do that, understandably, because they're thinking, my gosh, I'm not going to remember all these things. I've got to be consistent. No, that's going to hurt you. It's going to get you in trouble in the long run.
Yeah, because you know, one of my friends posted on Facebook a few weeks ago, darn site made me change my password again. That's the ninth time I had to rename the cat.
I had to rename the cat. I like that. See, that's at least clever. What do you do to help you remember your passwords? Call us at 800-899-4686 anytime, day or night, at your leisure. 800-899-INTO.
OWC, your source for connectivity, offers a wide variety of USB-C and Thunderbolt 3 docks to help you connect to your world. Ranging from travel docks with HDMI, USB 3, SD ports, and USB-C power pass-through while on the road, to desktop docks providing power to charge your laptop, and 14 ports to connect your monitors, external drives, headphones, wired Ethernet, and other devices using a single cable. See all the OWC products at owc.com/into.
Welcome back into Tomorrow. Another tech tidbit for you. The Apple II had a hard drive of only 5 megabytes when it was launched in June 1977. And, of course, that was a lot for them then. But now, 5 megabytes? Can't do anything with that. I posted on, I hope a lot of you follow me on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. It's all at Dave Graveline. Very easy. And I'll follow you back. Say hello, what have you. But I posted that I'm in business class on Air Europa, and you spend thousands of dollars. I didn't, fortunately, because they hired me to be the moderator, so they did. But coming back from Spain or going to Spain, because you're in business class, they give you a card for free Wi-Fi. I thought, good. I always want to stay connected. It was for 10 megabits, not even megabytes, 10 megabits. I signed on, go through all the procedure, got to do all this stuff, select English, blah, 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 you know, then sign on and enter this long, convoluted alphanumeric code. And by the time it says, success, you're connected, I loaded into tomorrow.com. I had 3 megabits left. I start to check email. Oh, good, email's coming in. Email 1, 2, 3, there's like 6, 7, it, stop. Oh, I know I had more email than that, crossing the Atlantic. Nope, that's it. You're out of time. So I said, can I have another one, please? Because I did. Oh, no, it's one per person here. I said, there's an empty seat over there. Give me that person's one. It's like, oh, please. Are you kidding me, Air Europa? And then I tweeted about it. Air Europa says, we're so sorry that we didn't meet your expectations. How about reading it? Megabits? 10 megabits is all you're going to give somebody? Why bother?
Well, your employees enjoyed the nice 8-hour break from the emails.
You know, I knew you were going to say that. It's like we haven't heard from Dave in 8 hours. Oh, he must be crossing the Atlantic and he doesn't have access to Wi-Fi. Oh, darn.
That means he can't check the security cameras. We can take naps.
Yeah. Oh, God. Let's pay a bill, shall we?
This portion of Into Tomorrow with all of our debaucheries brought to you by OWC, your source for connecting your laptop to the world. Special Into Tomorrow products and pricing at owc.com/into. That's owc.com/into.
Yes, it certainly is.
What if people with type 1 diabetes had the power to manage their condition without finger sticks? To always know their glucose levels and where they're heading with just a glance at their smart device? To customize alerts and alarms to help keep them in range? All this knowledge powered by a small wearable. Introducing the Dexcom G6. Make knowledge your superpower. For a list of compatible smart devices, visit dexcom.com/compatibility. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G6 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions.
Into Tomorrow continues. Erasmo and Julio in the control room. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by HughesNet, high-speed satellite internet available wherever you live or work. Text the word radio to 35,000 for more information. Again, text the word radio to 35,000.
Oh, you should absolutely do just that. We've been talking a lot lately about things to help limit your screen time on your mobile devices, but Apple has taken steps now to remove some apps or their features that limit the amount of time users spend on their iPhones and thus compete with the company's own tools for limiting screen time and blocking content. Apple defended their decision, stating that the programs in question, quote, put users' privacy and security at risk, close quote. Yeah.
Okay.
What they should have said was, because they compete with us. Anyway, by using mobile device management software, they claim parents are angry, app developers are furious at Apple. So what else is new? And there have been some pretty good ones that work very well. And we've talked about it lately, how you brought up your stats and how you weren't on the phone as often as you even thought you were. And then others were discovering they were on the phone a lot more than they thought they were. And it's important to just know that. It helps you curb some of that screen time that perhaps you don't need to be on as often. And actually don't be on those antisocial networks, but be on real face-to-face social networks, if possible. Whenever possible. So there you go. Apple just being upsetting people again. It happens.
All right, so I want to vent a little. Well, we've all heard of those apps that let you do your grocery shopping from home. In the beginning, I thought that was a neat idea. I mean, I wouldn't use it because I actually like going to the grocery store.
What?
I like to walk up and down the aisle, fill my cart with all the junk food that I shouldn't be eating.
But wait, do you at least not go grocery shopping whilst hungry?
Not usually.
No, but
the last
happens.
Time I did that, I was hungry when I went to the store for a gallon of milk, and I walked out of there with like $60 worth of food.
Oh, see, that's not good.
But I can see how these apps are helpful for a lot of people, especially busy single parents who may not have the time to make it to the grocery store. But lately, it's become a nuisance for those of us who still like to go to the grocery store.
Hmm.
Publix, which is the supermarket I shop at, has partnered with Instacart so that people can shop from the Publix app and then either come and pick up the complete order or have their groceries delivered. The problem is that this has become so popular that it's getting hard for me to move around my local store without running into at least 20 people in these green Instacart shirts.
Oh, really?
With baskets full of paper bags, and they go and they...
That are shopping for other people.
Pull an item off the shelf, scan it with a phone, stick it into a bag, and I'm constantly turning the corner. I'm running into another person with Instacart shopping. So,
you think they'd get it together and have just a handful of people doing it, not so many, and then deliver them to folks in the area, not to have a dozen people doing it.
And I get the convenience thing, but why not let these... personal shoppers, as I call them, do their shopping before the store opens or after it closes, and and then just have the stuff ready for the next day delivery. But not while I'm trying to shop. You're messing up my casual shopping experience.
Your shopping mojo.
Yes, I don't like going to most stores, but I like going to the grocery store. You can tell by my increased weight.
Yeah, you can. In fact, see, and I hate shopping otherwise. Clothes shopping or something. But I'm kind of with you there where I don't mind going up and down the aisles if I'm not in a terrible hurry. If I just got to get a couple things, I shop with a purpose. Boom, done, out of there. But regular grocery shopping, and I do make my lists, using Alexa and so forth, and she'll remind me, okay, you asked for this and this and this. But I still find that there are things that I didn't think of. Oh, I need that. So that's why it's good to go up and down the aisles. But don't go hungry. I mean, don't go in while you're hungry. Grab a bite first, then go. Because it's just known fact. Everybody can relate to this. If you're hungry, you're going to get a lot more stuff that you didn't need. And then you get home and you have all these things and you're thinking, why did I buy this and this and that? I didn't need any of that. I mean, sure, I'll eat it one day, whatever, but you just didn't need it. So I would think personal shoppers are going to increase. So stand by to either be more frustrated. Or, as you say, perhaps some of these stores will realize personal shopping time is certain periods when they're otherwise not busy. No personal shoppers like after work hours when most customers are going to come in on their way home from work or something. So they have to do midday, until 4 p.m. or something, and then you're out of here. Of course, that inconveniences people who use them. Because maybe you didn't order until 4:15 and you want stuff for dinner.
And maybe they're trying to push me to use that service too, so I don't have to deal with the people in the store. But then they charge more money, and I'm cheap. I don't want to pay more,
You are.
Yeah.
Cheap, that is, yeah. HighSpeedInternet.com recently passed 1 million speed tests, and this is kind of fun. They created a report to share the states with the fastest and slowest internet in 2019. So, the states with the fastest internet, based on their tests, and I pray your state is among them, Maryland, number one, with an average of 65.02 megabits per second. So, if you live in Maryland, a lot of our audience does, good luck. Number two, the second fastest state was New Jersey, then Delaware, then Rhode Island, then Virginia. And the rest of them. And the states with the lowest internet based on their speed tests. The first one, we have a lot of listeners here, two affiliates there even, Alaska. I guess that shouldn't be a surprise, right? An average of 17.03 megabits per second. Barely dial up.
Well, that's what I get on the my Comcast service that's supposed to be up to 25. I usually get about 17, 18.
Well, there you go, because that's up to 25. Yeah. So is two up to 25. Right. But Alaska, the slowest. The second slowest in the country is Mississippi, followed by Idaho, Montana, and Maine, with an average of 26.05. So if you want to know where your state stands, and I didn't share it with you because I'm not going to do all of them, then drop us a note, and I'll let you know. But, hey, let's hope your state, in fact, can do better. A giant in the consumer tech industry is born. Yale patents its first lock, and Betamax and VHS go to war. It all happened this week in tech history. Chris will tell us about it coming up in just a few minutes as well. But first...
It seems that Samsung thinks that millennials want vertical TVs, and catering to that.
Vertical TV. You mean like hang it on the ceiling TV?
No, like instead of in landscape mode, portrait mode.
Really?
Like portrait mode TVs.
More like you would see informational things at the airports and the malls. And they want to watch TV that way?
Well, the latest addition to Samsung's TV range is I guess it's pronounced Cero, S-E-R-O. Or Cero. It's a 43-inch TV that pivots between horizontal and vertical orientations. Acknowledging that most mobile content is vertical, Samsung says the Cero is designed to encourage young people to project more of their smartphone stuff onto the TV by allowing it to go vertical.
Oh, please.
With an integrated navy stand and a minimalist rear design, Samsung seems to hope that the TV will function as both a music streaming hub and a handsome piece of furniture.
Right. Yeah.
Because when it's not being used as a conventional TV or a phone enlarger, the Cero can serve as a huge digital photo frame or a music visualizer, and Samsung's Bixby voice assistant will also be on it. Samsung intends to put the Cero on sale for around $1,600 US in its home market of South Korea at the end of this month. No word from Samsung, though, on when or even if it will be available in the U.S.
What do you think? Will you watch a vertical TV? 800-899-INTO. Meantime, we'll meet you at intotomorrow.com.
Attention.
Do you have chronic back pain, knee pain, or arthritis? If you have Medicare or private insurance like Aetna, UnitedHealthcare, Humana, or Blue Cross, you may qualify for a safe, drug-free remedy for your everyday back and knee pain, but you must call now. You may be eligible for a pain-relieving back or knee brace at little or no cost to you. These pain relief braces are ideal for back pain, arthritis, sciatica, leg pain, knee pain, and other painful conditions that make life difficult. Our associates will work directly with Medicare or your insurance company for free. Your knee or back brace will be delivered directly to your door. Imagine playing with your grandkids or enjoying tennis or golf again. Call the National Knee and Back Brace Center to qualify for your Medicare or insurance-covered knee or back brace.
Call 800-674-9179. 800-674-9179. 800-674-9179.
As we continue bringing you Into Tomorrow, I'm Dave Graveline. Facebook is a divorce lawyer's best friend. In fact, 1 in 7 divorces are blamed on Facebook.
That's no surprise.
Yeah, I know. It's sad, but I guess we're not so surprised, are we? No. But here's something that can surprise you.
Jump aboard the time machine.
You got mail.
Time to head into yesterday with This Week in Tech History.
Everybody.
History.
Here's Chris.
History.
Here's me.
Here's me. You know, I introduced myself that way. It was kind of funny because a lot of times I'll have someone else introduce me, and we were like running a little behind at this very start of the IFA Global Press Conference. And they said, "Don't go, Dave, go," because we don't want to keep everybody waiting. So I turned around, not facing the audience, and I went, "Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome me." And major applause. It was kind of funny. Laughter and applause. It's the best way to go on stage. When they're laughing at you and applauding you at the same time. You don't know how to take it, but it was kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that was a cheap effort to get some applause, wasn't it? But it was a good start because people were like, you know, yeah. And then they were tweeting, yay, Dave is back as the MC, and because he keeps us entertained. And, well, I tried anyway. But isn't that sad when I introduced myself?
I'm sorry, my arm's not long enough to pat you on the back from this side.
Oh, stop. Gosh, you have any tech history?
I do.
All right, well then, share it with us.
It's a busy week this week. In 1851, Dr. John Gorey of Apalachicola, Florida, I always love saying that city name.
Yeah. Up yonder.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Was granted a patent for mechanical refrigeration. The official title on the patent calls it the improved process for the artificial production of ice. Dr. Gorey's basic principle is the one that's most often used in refrigeration today, namely cooling caused by the rapid expansion of gases. Before giving up his medical practice to pursue refrigeration, Gorey's research involved the study of tropical diseases. His treatment was to cool the air around patients, which required lots of ice, in turn leading to his invention.
You know, I meant to warn Erasmo with Julio in the control room. He needs to watch out for that rapid expansion of gases. What? Don't look at me like that. What? Why would you say that to me? Because I have to watch out with Chris in the studio for the same thing. But it's not for cooling.
We're trying to do tech history here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Am I interrupting? Yeah. What am I, the host?
Also happening this week in 1851, after learning the craft from his father, who had been an inventor and lockmaker, Linus Yale Jr. of Newport, New York, became well known for his patent of the lock and key. Yale would amass 20 different patents, including designs for locks, safes, and post office boxes. Many of Yale's inventions are still in use today, and if the name Yale sounds familiar, it should. The company he started 151 years ago in 1868 is still one of the top manufacturers of locks today.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he went on to create Yale University. No, not the same Yale?
I think that was around long before that.
Oh.
1927 this week, Hotel Statler in Boston, Massachusetts became the first hotel to install radio service, allowing its guests to listen to classic radio programs. It was a two-channel system with the guest selecting a channel on the receiver, then either listening with a headset or the radio's loudspeaker. It cost the hotel $50,000 to install radios in each of its 1,300 rooms.
Wow.
And another $750,000 to install the service in their six other hotels.
And none of the radios picked up into tomorrow. What year was that?
1927.
Yeah. And no, I wasn't around then.
In 1946 this week, after opening a radio repair shop a year earlier in the bomb-ravaged district of Tokyo, Masaru Ibuka joined with Aikio Morita to form a new company. The company, called Tokyo Telecommunications Engineering Corporation, built Japan's first tape recorder called the Type G. In 1958, the company changed their name to a much simpler Sony. The name Sony was chosen as a mixture of two words, the Latin word sonus, which is the root of sonic and sound, and the slang word sunny, which was popular in America in the 1950s. The word was also used in Japan to refer to smart and presentable young men, which the two founders considered themselves to be.
Well, that's interesting.
So that's how the name Sony came about.
And what was the original name of the company? Was this long, convoluted thing?
Tokyo Telecommunications Engineering Corporation.
I wonder why they didn't just keep that. But now known as Sony.
Yes.
Wow.
And this week in 1975, that company, Sony, introduced the Betamax video cassette recorder. This also spurned the intense videotape format war with JVC's Video Home System, or VHS format. This format war was very similar to the Apple-IBM rivalry, as early on, Sony insisted on keeping their technology proprietary, and JVC welcomed a more open-source approach where they would license the technology to their competitors. VHS ultimately won the format war, and despite this, Betamax production and sales lasted 41 years until Sony officially pulled the plug in March of 2016.
And do you know why ultimately VHS won the war over Beta?
Some grown-up videos.
Grown-up videos, yes. Well, that was the answer, because of porn. Sony would not allow pornography on the Betamax format, but VHF, JVC, the VHS market, and so forth said, "Hey, it's whatever anybody wants. You know, we're not going to judge." And therefore, the porn industry said, "Well, we have no choice if we're going to progress and make things available and sell films on VHS. It's got to be VHS." And that's what made the VHS industry take off like crazy and become ultimately the standard.
But, you know, Sony got their victory when their Blu-ray format beat out HD DVD.
That's true. It was payback time.
So that's our look back at This Week in Tech History, brought to you by IFA in Berlin, the global innovation show since 1924 for consumer tech and home appliances, and by IFA Next, the launchpad for innovations. Get more info on these annual retail events at ifa-berlin.com.
Oh, and we will, as a matter of fact. In September, it's not that far away, our 17th year broadcasting from there, we're going to have a whole bunch of folks with some great new technology and some awesome things at IFA in Berlin in September. So you certainly don't want to miss that. And the first global innovation partner for IFA Next, where our broadcast center is located every year, is Japan. That was another big announcement last week in Spain from our global press conference for IFA. IFA Next will provide a deep dive, they say, into the highly innovative industry hub, including entrepreneurs and visionary speakers, and a startup world like never before. So we're going to be able to talk to a lot of very cool startup companies involving technology and doing some neat things. You don't want to miss a minute of that. All on Into Tomorrow.
Lose weight now. Go to fat100.com. Lose that unwanted belly fat today and get free information at fat100.com. Fit in the dress or pants or bathing suits you've always wanted to. Go to fat100.com. Lose 10, 20, or more pounds immediately. Go to fat100.com. For free information on how you can lose weight, go to fat100.com. Fat100.com. That's fat100.com.
Welcome back into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline, of Rossmo and Julio in the control room. Chris Graveline with me here in the studio. And a new term has been created, the Silver Surfer, for those seniors 50 years old and older who use the internet on a frequent basis are now called Silver Surfers. Not to be confused with Silver Sneakers, which are old folks that go to the gym. But apparently the requirement is you have to have sneakers silver in color, I guess.
Or just silver hair.
Or just, hey, is that a reference to me?
Well, your hair's been silver for a while. I think it's turning more white now.
Yeah, it is. Well, that's because I dye it white.
Sure.
Sure. That's the goal.
This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you by OWC, your source for connecting your laptop to the world. Special Into Tomorrow products and pricing at owc.com/into. That's owc.com/into.
Or INTO, which is the same as saying into, but in case you needed a little help there. Barbara in Shelbyville, Tennessee, listens on Supertalk 99.7 WTN. Hello, Barbara.
Hey, Dave and Chris. I just wanted to give you an update that WeBoost Drive Sleek that you sent to me has done wonders for me. I am just so impressed.
Good.
I have 4G most of the time, I'd say 90% of the time, and it does go to 3G once in a while. But I'm just so tickled. Thank you so much. You solved my dilemma here with getting my data on my smartphone. Have a great day. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Barbara. It's always nice to hear from listeners when we send them prizes, and Julio's been heading up the prize team lately and working hard to get stuff out as quickly as possible, because listeners like Barbara love it, and they respond, and they say, thank you so much for sending me something that has been really helpful and useful. It's our pleasure. It's what we live for, Barbara.
You know, we especially love when our listeners get tickled.
So yeah, we love tickling Barbara. Wait a minute. Don't let her hashtag me, too, now.
So call in and participate. Let us tickle you by sending you some prizes.
Oh, my gosh. We're actually probably going to have to use that as another new mantra. Can we get Cam? Because he loves saying,
call in, win stuff. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Cameron. But now we need to get him. Call in. Let us tickle you. Thank you.
I think that's a whole different kind of show.
Yeah, that's true. That would be a different kind of show. Well, see, there you go. They just keep getting better.
But if you want to be tickled by winning a prize, you can call and participate 800-899-INTO. That's 800-899-4686.
And you can call anytime, by the way,
24/7.
Day or night. Do you get our free once-a-week tech newsletter? Jam-packed with tech news and stuff and some thoughts to make you smile. And it's very easy when you visit us at intotomorrow.com. You see a little red box pops up if the internet gods are with us. And all we ask for is your email address, which, by the way, we don't share with anyone. And then you will begin getting our free once-a-week tech newsletter. You'll get an email that confirms that you want to receive it. It's a double opt-in thing because we don't spam anybody. Then you click that link, and viola, you're in and getting our free once-a-week tech newsletter each and every week. I pray that you, yes, you listening, will subscribe at intotomorrow.com.